This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Debbie Antonelli, Gene Deckerhoff, Elizabeth Kittley coming up. Take your calls too at 844-SAY-ACCN. And speaking of Debbie Antonelli, she's got Oklahoma and Gonzaga with the call today. Let's go and see what's happening. Debbie, what's happening? You doing all right?
What's going on, Pac, man? All good. It's all hoops all the time, and I'm perfectly fine with it.
I got to tell you, this new setup of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday with the ladies in addition, I kind of like it. I kind of like it. The assist, the distribution of almost anywhere you look at any time there's a game going on, not to mention how crazy the games have been. It's really been an amazing run.
It's really special to be a part of it. I can tell you that this is my fifth year getting to work the men's tournament, if you count last year, and I'm counting it. And I can't thank our bosses at ESPN enough, the basketball management team, for allowing me to have a chance to do this. So I'm thrilled to be a part of CBS on the call today for Gonzaga and Oklahoma, and I can't wait. I mean, sleepless nights, pack a lot of film, a lot of water, and a few other things to keep you going, and that's where we are.
You know, that water will get in the way, Debbie. I found those sleepless nights. that water is a real problem, to be honest with you. Before we get to the ACC, both men and women, I just said to you during the break before we brought you on, I know Coach Kruger's a great coach at OU, but, man, I love watching Gonzaga play. It when everybody on the floor can score, they are a joy to watch play. There's no guarantees for wins. They may win the whole thing, not lose a game all season with what Mark Few's accomplished, but, man, they are fun to watch.
They are an offensive machine, and you know I see the game through an offensive lens, and they are fun to cover, fun to watch. They just can flat-out score. Their transition game is the best in the country. Their post-up game's in the top 10 when you look at points per possession. There's not any part of the game that they're not good at. And, you know, when you start talking about having space to score and having five players that can really play, and he can put five scorers on the floor every rotation – you know, you got to be able to do the other things, the other details, what I enjoy, the space, the screens, the cuts, how hard they cut, how hard they basket cut to score, how hard they exit cut to get their feet set outside the three-point line. I mean, they've got three players that are legitimate first-team All-Americans, and it's fun to watch.
No question about that. Well, have fun with the call. Can't wait to watch that later on today. All right, we're going to go all over the place here. I had mentioned earlier, I can't think of another team in the history of college basketball that's had a crazier high, low, in between than Virginia the last 3 or 4 years. When you talk about losing to a 16, you lose to a 3, and oh yeah, it's stuck in between maybe the greatest championship run you'd ever want to see. Tony Bennett will have it completely in perspective, but man, Virginia has just been all over the place, haven't they, in the postseason?
You know, it was a really tough draw for them when they couldn't practice and they get to Indianapolis on Friday and, you know, they got to play on Saturday. They have to get up at 1:30 in the morning to get their second test to make sure that they get their tests in. And, you know, without Justin McCoy, it certainly affects their rotation and especially their ball screen defense. And, you know, just Jason Preston and Ben Vanderplas are really good players, and they've got good pieces around them. And Ohio came in with a confidence, and that was a tough matchup for Virginia because there are a lot of people picking that as an upset. And, of course, Tony Bennett didn't get the normal prep that he usually likes to have. But still, their offensive and defensive habits were really good. They had an opportunity to make shots, just that Ohio made more shots and more plays late.
Other observations from the ACC, which was certainly a mixed bag. I mean, Syracuse is a feel-good story, which we can get to. We've talked about it a bunch this morning. But 2-5 in the first round is not what the doctor ordered for this conference, a league that hasn't had a losing NCAA tournament since 1987 on the men's side.
Yeah, I'm not going to dive too much into history and looking at this historically as maybe the league just had a bad year. I mean, there's a lot of programs that had a dip, but it'll come back because the coaching in the league is too good. The talent is there. Recruiting is always going to be there in the ACC. So, the bubble environment and the controlled environment could have something to do with a lot of these upsets that you're seeing because there's no travel and there's a different kind of chemistry that you have to have with your team to be able to manage this environment. And, you know, this is what the NCAA tournament is all about, March Madness. You know, we love to see some of these upsets and some of these upstart mid-majors that come in and can take down a big team. And this year particularly, we didn't get a chance for all the non-conference games, so it's particularly special for some of those programs. But overall, there's no worry, no panic out of the ACC. I mean, the Big Ten was considered to be, you know, one of the top conferences, and they've had some struggles here. So, you know, I think it's just a matter of this year's environment, all the detail, the things that they've had to deal with. And the teams that have the best chemistry and have the best habits are the ones that can come in here and win. And we're seeing some really good coaching jobs on the mid-major level.
There's no question about that. Already eight teams have punched their ticket as far as the Sweet 16, all eight from eight different leagues. And by the way, that also includes the Big Ten not punching a ticket yet, and they were looked upon as obviously the best league with nine teams in the dance. But again, it's still early, believe it or not. Now, let me switch gears. While we've got all this chaos on the men's side, the ladies get started, and nothing but chalk. All the higher seed teams took care of business. It truly is polar opposite. Do you expect more of the same today, or could we get some surprises?
I don't see many surprises on the women's side in the first round. Usually the higher seeds do win. Even in the 8-9 game, you expect the 8 to win, but that's usually the most compelling. But it's not like on the men's side where a 15 can come in and go to the Sweet 16. That is really hard to do for a double-digit seed on the women's side. We're just not there yet like the men are. However, the teams that are at the top are really good. And, you know, NC State is not getting enough pub. I think they should be. They're a number one seed. They're the third overall number one seed. They had a little rust yesterday. Kayla Jones got dinged up a little bit. But I think they're going to be fine, and I look forward to seeing them play against South Florida. You know, Pac, that's a South Florida team that runs a lot of action. NC State's going to have to be really good on the defensive end. And I think, you know, that first game of the tournament is usually the hardest. So I expect them to be okay. And then Virginia Tech has a real opportunity against Baylor. Baylor's one of the best teams in the country. They've been a Final Four contending team all season. And Virginia Tech has methodically been under the radar doing their thing. If you've been following them in the ACC, which I know you have, we know how good they are. I can't wait to see what Kenny Brooks can do with Elizabeth Kitley and Asia Shepherd and Georgia Amor and Kayla King, who doesn't get enough credit. But this is a Baylor team that if they're allowed to be bullies and to be physical and beat Virginia Tech up, this is going to be a tough game for the Hokies. But if the game can play in space and Virginia Tech can get the tempo where they need it, they have more offense. So I think this is going to be a really compelling matchup to keep your eye on.
Elizabeth Kitley will join us coming up here in about 20 minutes. LaChana Robinson just joined us, and she was laying some subtle hints that UConn is a one seed. Better be careful with Syracuse. It was a great weekend for Orange fans with the men punching their ticket. And, of course, Cuke took care of business, knocking off South Dakota State. Do you agree with that assessment moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think because we have so much balance in the top seeds, and Syracuse has been a team that's been up and down all year. If they make shots, they are tough to deal with. 6-7 in the middle is something that no one else has. UConn's going to have to deal with that, and Syracuse is going to have to make a detailed effort to get her the basketball and not miss her, especially when she's on that right block where she can catch and go over her left shoulder. She's really tough to deal with. So if they can make some shots, take care of the ball, you know, Quentin Hilsman's teams are going to have those moments in the game where they'll give up, you know, an 8-0 run, but then they'll come back and have their own 8-0 run themselves. And I think they know what UConn is all about, and I think UConn knows what Syracuse does. So I think it's going to be really fun to watch. And, of course, Paige Beckers, you can't talk about UConn right now without talking about Paige Beckers. I think Paige Beckers was on every halftime show yesterday at every halftime of the women's games. And so she's a player that you have to know where she is. She's almost a 20-point-a-game scorer, and she's one of the best players in the country. They'll have their hands full dealing with her.
How about the Jackets yesterday? Oh, Nell down 17 at halftime. Ain't no big deal. Let's just go ahead and win the ball game in overtime. Piece of cake.
Nell is living her best life. I mean, Nell has been like that all year. She's so solid and smooth. She's done so much inside our game. I don't know if there's any other coach on the women's side that's been coach of the year in three power leagues like Nell has. So she's seen it all. She's experienced it all. And she has great confidence in her team. So I actually wasn't panicked. I knew Lorella Kubai would come alive. I expected Latemae Lahtinen to have a better game. Those freshmen getting their first opportunity in the tournament, it's all good for Georgia Tech. That's definitely a survive and advance opportunity for them. And they did a great job in overtime finishing the game off.
Louisville, big favorite tonight against Marist, is the 2 seed. What about North Carolina's at 10 against Bama, the 7 seed?
See, that's the most compelling one because Alabama has 3 scorers. And anytime you have 3 scorers on the women's side, that can cause trouble for anybody. But, you know, Courtney Bangert is fantastic at her detail and her prep. You've got experienced players like Stephanie Watt and Petra Holashinska is what I say when she makes a 3 pack because she can shoot it from deep. And, you know, this might be her first experience in the tournament as well. So, you know, when you've got veteran players like that, Janelle Bailey anchoring the middle who has to have a big game inside, they'll be challenged. This will be a fun one to keep your eye on. I wish we had a line on that one. I'd be interested in what it was.
Yeah, I have no earthly idea. And whatever I pick, go the other way. All I got to do is show you this. Debbie, this is what a awful bracket looks like. Black is not good. All right, I've run out of ink. How bad my picks have been. But nevertheless, the games will be great. Looking forward to the call today with the OU and Gonzaga. Enjoy the madness. And as always, we appreciate the time on the show.
Hey, Pat, great to see you. Thank you so much for having me on. Have a great day today watching games. Kick your feet up and enjoy it. Basketball's going to be great today.
Amen to that. Appreciate it as always. Be good. It goes Debbie Antonelli. Quick break. When we come back, the voice of the Florida State Seminoles, Gene Deckerhoff. I'll say hello, and 20 minutes later, we'll find out if he likes the Noles today, because you know he does. Florida State, Colorado, tonight, ACC looking to go with team number 2 to the Sweet 16. We'll talk to Mean Gene coming up next right here on Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. No Durham. He'll be back, though. Partner's under the weather a little bit. He's fighting it. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. All right, let's go and talk Florida State because we've got one team in the ACC in the Sweet 16 in Syracuse. Florida State looks to join the mix tonight. They take on Colorado from the suddenly red-hot Pac-12, who was yet to lose a game in this tournament, which makes no sense whatsoever. But the voice of the Florida State Seminoles joins us, Gene Deckerhoff. Mean Gene, what's going on this morning? You doing all right?
Well, you mentioned the Pac-12 is every team in the dance is still in the dance. And if you like to stay up late at night, you have a chance to watch some Pac-12 basketball. You'll hear the voice of Bill Walton. And I think out of every commercial break, Bill Walton tells you it's the Conference of Champions. And by golly, I mean, until somebody proves him wrong, I guess he's been right all this. I've been doubting every time he says it. But right now in this tournament, he is absolutely spot on.
It's amazing. The 3 previous tournaments before we started this one, the Pac-12 has won a grand total of 14 games. That's it, 14. Right now, they're 6-0 in this tournament. So nothing has made any sense. But, hey, we're living in a COVID world. Who knows what's going to happen? But I know this much. The Noles found a way to win the first one. It wasn't pretty, but the object's to survive and advance, and that's precisely what Florida State did. But, Gene, they're going to have to play better tonight to beat Colorado.
Well, you're going to have to make more 3-point shots. I'll promise you that. What do we have? None?
0.
0 for 9?
Yep.
How about this? You go 0 for 9 from beyond the arc. You make 66% of your 2-point shots, but the majority of those were the paint, obviously. Raekwon Gray had 17 points. Most of those layups, a little runners in the lane. Balsa Koprivica with a couple of slam dunks on alley-oop passes and some stick backs and really playing his best basketball. All tournament ACC. That's hard to do, as you know, Pac, and that was one of the honors that he received this year. Only a sophomore. It's 7'1". But, yeah, you got to shoot better than the over from the 3-point line to win in tournaments. And, you know, you got to give – you got to give credit to Leonard Hamblin, the way he has built this program. I saw the semblance of that old junkyard dog defense that Leonard likes to talk about. And one of his great lines in the post-game interview, Leonard says, defense travels in a suitcase. That's an old basketball term I hadn't heard forever. But defense travels in a suitcase. Sometimes you can't pack that bag with three-point shots, but you can pack the bag with defense. We held UNC Greensboro, that averaged about 76 points a ballgame, to 54 points. That's a NCAA best for a Seminole basketball team, 54 points, and just 31% shooting. That's that junkyard defense that we've seen out of Leonard Hamblin teams in the 19 years he's been the head coach at Florida State. Love to see that, and it's going to take the junkyard and more to beat a red-hot Colorado team tonight.
Yep, you're right about that. You know, I'm also waiting for MJ Walker to go nuts. Yeah. He's been kind of quiet here the last couple weeks, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's had a game where he'll have 4 points, and he's our leading scorer, 13 points going into the tournament. That dropped to 12.5 because we have 4 points against UNC Greensboro. So, yeah, we need him. You know what? He's an ultimate team player. His assist totals are way up from what they have been in his career. He had another handful of assists in the game against North Carolina Greensboro. So you give away the shooting perhaps for the assist, but good Lord, got to stop the turnovers. And he didn't have as many in the win over UNC Greensboro as he had in the loss to Georgia Tech. But he's our team leader. He's our senior. This Florida State offense revolves around MJ Walker. And if you can get him in double figures, you got a great chance of winning a basketball game. And I'm hoping that he thinks shoot and not pass tonight. And I think that'll be the difference. I think MJ Walker might be the key to Florida State dancing in the Sweet 16 a week from tonight.
Well, you mentioned all this defense. You know, after watching Colorado in their game against Georgetown, they only made 16 threes. That needs to stop tonight. I mean, you know, making threes is one thing. Being able to stop somebody from who's been red hot, that's going to be the other key. And I can't wait to see how this game plays out because you mentioned Colorado is really feeling it. They got great leadership with the guards. They don't miss free throws. They don't turn the ball over. And if they make a bunch of threes, they'll be a tough out. But again, I don't think they've seen a team defensively like Florida State, at least with the athleticism and the waves of players that they're going to see tonight.
Well, one thing that jumps out on the roster of the Colorado Buffaloes to me, two things. One, they have size. They got a 7-foot center. They got 6'8", 6'7". That matches Florida State. The second thing that jumps out is they got six either seniors, redshirt juniors, or graduate students on the team. This is an experienced team with talent. And that's the combination that gets you deep into championship tournaments like this one. Yeah, you got six guys that have been around the block. I got a transfer that played at Tulsa, Nebraska. He comes in off the bench, he's their top rebounder. And so, yeah, that experience really pays off at tournament time. And that's what Tad Boyle brings to the Indiana Farmers Coliseum today, cozy little arena. It holds 6,500. And I watched the Florida Gator game last night. It was played in that same venue. And I was glad it was because I wanted to see what the sight lines were and everything like that. Because when you're playing in a tournament, sight lines are important. I know this. We went to Indiana last year and played the Hoosiers in Indiana. I'd never been in Assembly Hall. They've got another name to it now, but I call it Assembly Hall. And the sight lines in that place are so weird that it's a decided home court advantage. We played in a big arena on Saturday, could not shoot three-point shots. I think the sight lines will be more favorable to a Florida State shooter tonight than they were on Saturday. But hey, you got to play where you got to play, and there are four venues in the Indianapolis area. I'm glad we're not in Bloomington. I'm glad we're not in West Lafayette. I'm glad we're in downtown Indianapolis, you know?
Well, I know this much. You're also glad you're playing because the Gators this morning are on the couch. Yeah. That's the other thing that comes into play. You just talked to Coach Ham. What'd he tell you?
Well, he told me about the same thing we're talking about. We got to protect the ball, and we can't put them on the free throw line. You know, with their 10 free throws in the game against Georgetown, they have slipped ahead of Oral Roberts now. They're the top free throw shooting team in the country, NCAA statistically, and they are 1/100th percentage point away, or right now they're 1/100th percentage point ahead of Harvard for the all-time NCAA single season free throw record. So Leonard said, we've got to play great defense, junkyard defense, but we can't foul them. We can't put this team on the line and let them score points when that clock stopped. And, you know, I guess when you make 16 threes, you don't go to the free throw line that often because 12 attempts, I mean, you'd figure Georgetown had a chance, but not the way the Colorado Buffaloes made those 3-point shots. But that's what Leonard said. And he also said, we got to protect the basketball. The last two ball games, good grief, 40 turnovers. We had 15 against Georgia Tech. I beg your pardon. We had 30 turnovers. 15 against Georgia Tech, 25 against Georgia Tech, 15 against Greensboro. That's 40 turnovers, if my math is correct. And you can't turn the ball over that many times and have success. We lost to Georgia Tech in the ACC championship game, and we were able to beat North Carolina Greensboro despite those turnovers. They had 31 points, 31 of their 54 points back off of Florida State turnover. Got to protect the basketball.
Yeah, your math is exquisite, by the way. 25 and 15 is 40, and you don't beat good teams turning the ball over that often. That's got to improve tonight. And the stat line that we just threw on the screen, Florida State 16-0 when holding opponents under 75 points, that really is the magic number. I think, again, you get 75, put a circle around it, and let it rip.
Well, that's good news, Wes. I'm glad you pointed that out. I know the Hoyas wish that they could have held them to 74 points. They would have still lost, I guess. They lost by 23. But Colorado, not a real high-scoring team. They average a little over 73 points a ball game, but they score enough points to win. Four of their eight losses were by 4 points or less. A couple of, you know, they lost by two to Oregon State. And everybody said, Oregon State, a state was picked. You know, I don't know this because I follow Pac-10 basketball, Pac-12 basketball. I follow Packer and Durham on ACC Network. I don't follow Pac-12 basketball that much. But Oregon State was picked 16th by the media going into the season. You know, it was delayed by COVID. All the conferences were delayed by COVID. They were picked 16th, picked dead flat last. Nobody gave them a chance, and all they did was win the Pac-12 tournament championship for the first time in school history, and they had to beat Colorado. Oh, they beat them big. A dunk at the end of the game. They won by, 2 points in that ball game, and so I think Colorado's got a chip on them. You know, the Pac-12 seeding, I think COVID really confused a lot of the folks that do the seeding. I know they use all the metrics, the NET and all that, but I think some of these teams are seeded a lot lower than they should have been. I'll tell you this. I know the number 4 seed is almost an extinct species right now. We're a rare breed. Florida State's the only number 4 still left. Some number 3s go down, and number 1 went down yesterday. And oh, by the way, Loyola knocks off Illinois. How about that ball game? I mean, they started before I turned the TV on. It was over when I looked at my, my goodness, I needed to watch that game. So I was watching the second game and doing preparation for our broadcast against Colorado. And I said, my goodness, somebody, everybody's creative, but somebody put up on the web, they had Sister Jean in a scarf, and they had a picture of me with a scarf. And they said, Loyola, the Ramblers have their Sister Jean. We have our Brother Jean. And the scarf that I'm wearing, and I'll put it on right now. Look at this. If you look at Sister Jean's scarf, it's just a darker shade of garnet. Pack. It's just this. But so I'm going to wear my scarf tonight and see if I can have the same magic Sister Jean had for those Ramblers when they knocked off the number 1 seed. You know, we're talking about basketball and Pack. I got to throw out a shout to Mike Martin Jr. and the Florida State baseball team. Yeah. They go down to Coral Gables, Mark Light Stadium, Mark Light Field, and just absolutely lambaste a 6th-ranked Miami Hurricane team. That's all I'm talking about. Congratulations, Canes, or Florida State over the win. You know, I broadcast Florida State baseball for 24 years on television, Pack, and I never saw a sweep of the Miami Hurricanes. And by golly, that's a tip of the Seminole hat to Mike and that Florida State baseball. Now let's get back to basketball.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, the Noles, they took care of business beating the Gators early in the week, and then they sweep Miami. And I mentioned earlier, 34-2 in runs. I mean, it was a sweep and then some is what that was. But listen, you and Sister Jean, it's a local call to the man upstairs. All right.
There it is. I've got the scarf on. It makes me look thinner, Pat. It makes me look thinner.
Send one my way.
It keeps my neck a little warmer, too, you know?
Listen, no turnovers tonight. We always appreciate it. Oh, yeah. And best of luck to you, the Noel Nation, and everybody in this league rooting for Florida State to join Syracuse in that Sweet 16.
Yeah, let's represent the Atlantic Coast Conference. Put two teams in the Sweet 16. And congratulations, Tim Boeheim. Buddy Boeheim is having a tremendous junior season. Let's see if the ACC can have two teams in the Sweet 16.
You got it, man. Have a great call. We always appreciate it.
Thank you, Pat.
See ya. Gene Deckerhoff, legendary Gene Deckerhoff. Already got the Super Bowl ring, voice of the Bucks. Now he's trying to get one for March Madness. See what happens. Florida State tonight against Colorado. When we come back, we switch gears again. Elizabeth Kitley talking Virginia Tech women's basketball. They picked up their first win in the NCAA tournament since 2006. And Elizabeth Kitley makes her debut on this show. We'll find out also, it's the hardest class. All that's coming up next right here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Elizabeth Kitley will join us here momentarily from the great state of Texas because the Hokies are still alive and kicking. Won their first NCAA tournament game since 2006 by knocking off Marquette. They've got a big one against Baylor coming up. And she's been awesome. And we've never had her on the show. So we're looking forward to doing that as well. And again, many thanks to Gene Deckerhoff, who is truly a legendary play-by-play guy, Hall of Famer in every sense of the word. He's been doing the Bucks and the Noles for a long, long time and love having him on game day. And he always has a great deal of fun. Of course, Debbie Antonelli led things off here in the Power Hour. We will still take some calls, too. We're going to try to squeeze them in, maybe, if we have time, between now and the top of the hour at 844-SAY-ACCN. And we basically gave it a deal. It's the Final Four. Four words to describe how you describe your season this year with the ACC. But right now we go down to the great state of Texas. Elizabeth Kitley joins us. First of all, oh, good, another outdoor. We like these Texas outdoor interviews. We had Kenny Brooks on last week. Elizabeth, first of all, welcome to the show and congratulations on the big W.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
By the way, how many is Brooks above, below, down the hall? What's the story there with the setup?
He's like right there.
I like the setup, first of all. First of all, it's outdoors. You're still alive and kicking. So what was it like yesterday picking up the first win in school history since 06? That had to be sweet.
It was really exciting. It felt really good, not just for our team and our coaches, but also for all the Hokies and the entire program, because we know it's been so long, and we wanted to do it for not just us, but them too.
And this is a team that seems to really have caught fire. We had talked about the fact when you guys finally knocked off NC State, which feels like, I know, a million years ago, all of a sudden, all those close losses, you've kind of put that in the rearview mirror, and you're playing terrific basketball.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, we got our fair share of tough breaks at the end of games, and we just knew how that felt. We kind of just decided after the loss at NC State that we didn't want to do that anymore, and we were over it, and then we just, you know, came together and finished.
One of the things that your coach told us last week is the 1-2 combination that you've got on this team, that really you are a matchup problem no matter who you play against, and really whatever that seed is, that 7 beside your name, really doesn't mean anything once you're in the tournament. Uh-oh. It's frozen in Texas. All right, we'll try to get Ms. Kitley back on here because Aisha's been playing great. That Shepard-Kitley combination, you heard Debbie Antonelli talking about it earlier today too, that Virginia Tech's got so many weapons that they could be a matchup problem. Again, they're going to hook up against Baylor. Baylor won by, I think, 800 points yesterday, which is what they do. Kim Mulkey's got an incredible program. She's a Hall of Famer. They're playing in the great state of Texas. And granted, crowd-wise, it's not packed like it never would be given this COVID situation. So Baylor will have a home court advantage, if you want to call it that, in this day and age. But we'll try to get Elizabeth back on the show and get her thoughts on the Baylor game coming up. And also what Virginia Tech's going to do. But, you know, much like what Buddy Boeheim's been doing, lightened up for Syracuse, that's what Elizabeth Kitley's been doing lately. And she has just been absolutely on fire, and so has Virginia Tech. All right, so now we're going to try this via phone and see if this works better. We at least know where you are, Elizabeth. Outdoors, weather's good, you're still winning. But now we're going to do this via phone. I just mentioned, we were talking about how Buddy Boeheim looks like the basket's the size of the Atlantic Ocean. I had to start feeling that way for you and your team this week.
I mean, it's felt pretty good. We've been practicing really well, so that helps, obviously. And, you know, we've been running our stuff on executing, and the shots have been falling when we need them to.
You played 40 minutes. Did that feel good, or does it feel like, hey, it's going to be good to put my feet up today?
I mean, honestly, I'm kind of used to it from, you know, how the season's been going. It'll be nice to take a little rest today, but then I expect nothing less tomorrow, honestly.
With all the stuff that everybody has been through as far as the protocol and, you know, staying the quarantine, the isolation, just to practice, just to play, was the energy level, like, through the roof for game one just to be back on the floor and performing? Did the 40 minutes feel like, hey, let's go another 20?
Yeah, it definitely feels really good to get out of our hotel rooms. I mean, even when we, like, go to COVID testing, we all get excited to get outside. So I would say playing a game was, you know, a treat for us, yeah.
So what have you done to just get through the day? I mean, I know you're worried about the next game and whatever you can do, but what do you do just to free the brain up a little bit just so you realize, hey, we're not looking at the same four walls all day?
Well, still in school, and I have an exam on Thursday, so that takes up, you know, some time. I like to read, too, and, like, FaceTime some of my teammates since we can't see each other.
By the way, what's the exam Thursday?
It's organic chemistry.
Oh, God. No wonder why you're busy. I mean, that's not one of those, yeah. That's not one of those fluff classes like, yeah, I'll get caught up in an hour or so. That organic chemistry, you got to stay on top of it.
Yeah, it takes a week to prepare.
Oh, man. So how difficult is that on the road, online, March Madness? I mean, you've got it all going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot, but, you know, I wouldn't want to complain because I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, and I'm grateful to be in the position that I am. So
all right,
just going to get it done.
That's exactly your attitude, spot on. So next up, though, is a real, real test. You're in Texas, and you're taking on Kim Mulkey and Baylor. What do you know about the Bears?
I mean, I watched their first round game. I've seen a few games this season. We obviously are, you know, we've watched film on them already. So we're learning their personnel and seeing what they like to do and their tendencies. And, you know, we'll continue to prepare today and then be ready tomorrow.
Elizabeth, do you guys feel like, you know, teams get hot at the right time? And I mentioned before your screen froze on us a second ago, ever since you beat NC State, Virginia Tech just feels and looks like a totally different team. And you've got so many different weapons. Do you get a sense that you're a dangerous team moving forward?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think we're all confident in, you know, how good we are and how good we can play, especially when we all play really well at the same time. And Coach Brooks said this the other day that, you know, I don't even think we've had a game this year where everyone has played to their highest capability. And I think when that happens, we'll be very, very dangerous. And, you know, hopefully we're probably going to need that tomorrow. So I hope that it's, you know, brought by everyone.
You know, I know you mentioned organic chemistry exam Thursday, still in school. Do you have time to watch everybody else? Or is it just, hey, I'm taking care of me, making sure I'm healthy, and I'm only worried about Baylor? But have you had a chance to, we'll take a little sneak preview, see what else is going on within the league and within the tournament?
Yeah, I have my TV on games, my iPad on, and my phone if I need it. I always like watching other teams, and so I definitely make time for that, even if it's just in the background.
All right, so what jumped out at you watching games yesterday?
I watched, you know, NC State and A&T. That was really close for a little bit. And who else? I watched some of the UConn game. I watched Wake Forest. I saw the end of that. I watched Florida State. Oh, Georgia Tech. That game stood out.
How about that? Down 17, and they come back and win it in overtime. That's nuts, right?
Yes, that was the most exciting game for sure.
Yeah, and there's no question about that. No, so the league's won four. They've lost two. You got two going on today. Alabama and North Carolina hook up at noon. Louisville plays tonight against Marist. You know these teams. You think North Carolina and Louisville can sweep today?
I mean, I hope so. I'm pulling for our conference. Hopefully I'll be able to watch since we don't play today. I think that I'll be good to, you know, root for them.
All right. Let me ask you the question that we ask every student athlete that appears on the show. And I know you got organic chemistry Thursday, but since you've been at Virginia Tech, what has been the hardest class?
Definitely last semester organic chemistry.
Boy, can we not get out of organic chemistry? I mean, why do you love it so much? I mean, if it was hard last semester and last year, why are we doing it again unless we want to be a major in this?
Because I need it for my major and hopefully med school. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you have done an awesome job. Your team's a blast to watch. We appreciate you getting up early out there in the great state of Texas. Enjoy the day off, per se. Get off your feet, watch some hoops, and very best of luck against Baylor moving on in the tournament.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You got it. Elizabeth Kittley, terrific player for Virginia Tech, joining us from the great state of Texas. As I mentioned, they get Baylor coming up next. All right, we gave you a promo earlier that we got football coming up this weekend. Well, guess what? We got baseball tomorrow. North Carolina, in-state rival East Carolina. They're rolling into Chapel Hill. It's the first of a home-and-home series between the two this week, playing Greenville March 30th. Coverage of this one begins at 6 Eastern right here on ACC Network and on the ESPN app. Get that all over you. North Carolina baseball. When we come back, final segment of the show. We got top plays. We got some offbeat stories. We'll try to squeeze a call or two in if you're in the mood at 844-SAY-ACCN. Appreciate everybody joining the show today. Coming right back to you, though. Plays of the weekend are next on Packer and Durham right here on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Final segment of a Monday edition of Packer and Durham. As I mentioned, Wes has been under the weather. Hopefully we'll get him back soon. Speedy recovery to my partner. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Thanks again to Seth Greenberg, LaChana Robinson, Debbie Antonelli, Gene Deckerhoff. You just heard from Elizabeth Kittley, who's rocking and rolling down there in Texas as the Hokies get ready for Baylor. All right, over the weekend, we kind of give you the best of the worst of, but there's things you need to see. Like plays of the weekend. And, man, we had some spectacular efforts. We're going to start with Georgia Tech. Justin Henry Malloy. Check out this. Doink. Hot corner, third base, no problem. You're out. Let's catch you. Man, that's a play right there. Bounce, great catch at first. Wake Forest guy's like, come on, man. Killing me on that. That should have been a double down the line. Georgia Tech, Justin Henry Malloy. All right, let's go Notre Dame. Are you kidding me? Madison Ahern? Looking like me trying to walk and chew gum at the same time. That's what I did to hurt my knee. What a shot. What a goal. Spinning goal against Liberty. Madison Ahern drops the stick, too. Like, yeah, that's me. That's right. That'll be on the show Monday. I guarantee I'll be on. That's what she's telling the girls. It's going to be on Packer and Durham. Here we go. Louisville's Luke Brown. NC State, a tough weekend. Man, Louisville sweeps these dudes. You kidding me? That's why they swept them. Catching everything to look at. It's a rope. Bam. Luke Brown. Yeah, I got it. One down. Next man up. Cards are playing ball, man. We knew they were going to be good before the season. Sweep NC State. And I told you, they're going to move up in the rankings given what Florida State did to Miami. So there's just some of the plays of the weekend. Now, we celebrated a big birthday in our family yesterday. Gigi, our oldest daughter, turned 24. So happy belated birthday to Gigi Packer. She's living large down there in the ATL. But today, happy birthday, Steve Forbes and Mike Bray. How about that? Maui Mike, Coach Forbes, taking care of business. Now, I know they wish they were in a dance in a perfect world. That's what they went in for birthdays. They want to be still playing. But nevertheless, two of the good dudes right there, Mike Bray and Steve Forbes. We told you about the Coach Bray said he's back next year. Irish should be pretty good, and Steve Forbes is building good stuff in Winston-Salem. So happy birthday, both those guys. We also mentioned that this was a huge weekend for wrestling. And it was a great weekend in Chapel Hill because Austin O'Connor won the national championship. It's North Carolina's sixth national champion, the first time they've had one since 1995. And AOC took care of business. He was the two seed, no problem. He wins it. Buck 49, congratulations to him and the North Carolina program. I mentioned we had a number of ACC wrestlers in the finals, four total. And here, who are they? I mean, we mentioned, I think Pitt had two, first time since 1963. Jake Wentzel, been on the show. Of course, Trent Heidley's been fantastic and lost very controversial ending. With about 15 seconds to go, thought he got hosed out of a point. Could have gone a little bonus there, but nevertheless, Bonacarsi took care of business too. Always love having him on the show. But here's everybody, the ACC wrestlers, the All-Americans by weight class. You go through the whole list here. Just an incredible year for ACC wrestling. I mean, really spectacular. We keep telling you about the fact that this is a sport that's on the rise, big picture, nationally. Five ACC teams consistently ranked in the top 25 all season long. NC State, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Pitt taking care of business, Virginia. Duke's trying to get their program rocking and rolling too. So congratulations to all those gentlemen. And again, for Austin to win the national championship, incredible. So congratulations. All right, I said we're going to try to squeeze some calls in if we can. 844 Say ACCN, and our kind of our goofball question today is 12 of the 15 ACC teams for the men's side, season's over. NC State still alive in the NIT. You know about Florida State playing tonight. Syracuse already punched their ticket. But for the 12 that are on the couch, if you're a fan of one of those 12, how would you describe your ACC basketball season? This is a final four words or less. Four words or less. 844 Say ACCN. I got Debbie in North Carolina, been holding patiently. Debbie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Packer. I'm above ground and breathing. Best wishes to Mr. Durham. And the best way I can describe Carolina's basketball season is like an old Clint Eastwood spaghetti movie. Good, bad, and ugly.
Yeah, that's, you know, by the way, first of all, it's a great flick. Second of all, you are spot on. And third of all, unfortunately, it ended ugly. And Debbie, I said on Friday I thought North Carolina would beat Wisconsin. And I told the story earlier today about going to get an MRI on Friday night. The game was 16-16 when I got out of my truck. And by the time I got done with the procedure and got back in the truck, they were down 23. And it was just one of those nights, wasn't it, Debbie? They just didn't have it. Yeah, just didn't have
it. Best wishes to you when you get your MRI results too, Mr. Packer.
I got them back, and you know. Okay, Debbie, thank you. And I did get them back, and I think it is good, bad, and ugly. The good news is it's not a torn meniscus. The bad news is it's a torn tendon, and the ugly is me trying to run. That's the deal. Me trying to run is ugly. But nevertheless, let me go to Charlie. He's in North Carolina. Charlie, how are you?
Hey, Pack, I'm good. I hope you are, and I hope Wes gets better.
Me too.
I'm a Wake Forest guy, but I got one for Georgia Tech. Lenardi several weeks ago mentioned that they might be in the wilderness as far as postseason play. So I'd say in wilderness without Moses.
Yeah. Well, you knew that was going to be a tough game with Moses, right? Right. I mean, the 8-9 matchups, we've been saying this from the get-go. There's not a whole lot of difference between a 6-11, a 7-10, and an 8-9. So you knew, even when you saw that bracket that came out, Georgia Tech, Loyola, Chicago was going to be a tough matchup. And then when you got the news that Moses, the ACC Player of the Year, was a no-go, you knew that was going to be difficult. And now here we are sitting on a Monday. And if you watch Loyola in that game, you know what? They came from double digits down, found a way to win. And then what they did yesterday, hey, they took arguably, some folks believe, maybe the best team in Illinois. And there was never a doubt. I mean, they just out-coached them, outplayed them. That's a good club. So at the end of the day for Georgia Tech, hey, you are the ACC champs. You're going to put that banner up. You're bummed with the way it ended. But you know what? There's only going to be one team feeling good about life the way this tournament starts. And given how crazy and upside down this tournament's been, there's no telling what's going to happen. I mean, Gonzaga is undefeated, but, hey, proceed with caution. That's all you can do. All right, big day in hoops. North Carolina women's team at high noon. The 10 seed taking on Alabama. Louisville, the 2 seed tonight, takes on Marist on the men's side. Florida State, the Noles, the 4 seed, taking on Colorado, the 5 seed. Thanks to everybody, Chrissy, Josh, Drew, Meg, Hank, Mike, the staff, Chester Fuller, Wes, get better. We're back tomorrow morning. Catch you right here on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.